Well, I guess we are almost on time to start. So our first speaker today is Dr. John Goreski, and he will be presenting on nitrogen use efficiency and cycling in pastures managed with reduced nitrogen inputs.
Well, thank you for attending. I do want to introduce or mention my, since this is about partnering, our partners on the project, and that includes Walter Schock from the Department of Agronomy and Horticulture at University of Nebraska in Lincoln, Terry Kloffenstein from the Department of Animal Science at UNL, and then our presider, Anna Wingeyer from the Institute of National de Tecnologia Agropecuaria, Argentina. In the last 15 years, the U.S. has experienced a vast increase in corn production and use of corn for ethanol. That kind of shows up here on this chart to the left. You can see in the yellow shaded area, that's that increase in use of corn for ethanol. Whereas much of that production of corn, of course, that's in the U.S. Midwest, and that's shown kind of on the next chart here, in the high concentration and the high shading of corn production is in green. It's kind of tough to tell, but this figure also from the USDA shows there's red dots there that show the ethanol plants. Well, a byproduct of use of corn for ethanol production is distillers grains as part of the process of the fermentation process. A byproduct is distillers grains. Well, increasingly, those distillers grains are used both in beef cattle and dairy cattle production systems. They're fed both within feedlot type systems as well as mixed and used for supplement forage based diets. So that brings us to the experiment that I've been involved with and I partnered along with, and that was a project that was initiated in 2005, and it was evaluating supplementing steers grazing smooth bone grass pastures with distillers grains plus solubles. So it's been, that experiment has gone on for 10 years. There's 10 years of, really it was based out of animal science. It was led by Dr. Terry Kloffenstein and looked at animal performance of those steers on those pastures. A key part of supplementing steers grazing pastures with distillers grains is it's a way to increase carrying capacity. So with this increase in corn production, there's been a decline in pasture acres. And so this is a way to carry more cattle because the distillers grain supplements for forage in their diet. And this research was conducted at the Agricultural Research and Development Center at Meade, Nebraska. Give you an idea of how that experiment was laid out. So it's a randomized complete block design, and there's three treatments that are applied to the pasture or to the animals in the pasture. But the experimental units there, three replications of those three treatments, and what those stand for is with those abbreviations, the control pasture would be cattle on those pastures are unsupplemented. And those pastures themselves are unfertilized, so no nitrogen fertilizer application. The subtreatment would be the new treatment there in the middle, and you see on those two blocks, and that says steers are supplemented daily in the pasture from a feed trough. I believe it's 2.3 kilograms per day of dried distillers grains plus solubles. And those pastures are also unfertilized, so no N. And then your standard practice would be fertilization of those pastures. So they would have been fertilized with nitrogen at 90 kilograms per hectare per year. One thing to note, those are split into six paddocks because each of those pastures are rotationally stocked. Okay, one other point is about the supplement. It's why it's supplemented. It's high in energy. It's high in protein and other nutrients, phosphorus, as well as other minerals. Okay, to give you an idea about my talk about nitrogen and nitrogen, I mentioned nitrogen use efficiency and nitrogen cycling. It's important to understand the key differences between these experimental units or these treatments. And that's how the nitrogen inputs or the nitrogen balance there. So looking at the nitrogen inputs, looking at first line fertilizer. So again, the control and the supplemented treatment have zero N, FERT, 90 kilograms of N. DDGS, so I mentioned 2.3 kilograms per hectare today. On a pasture scale, on the experimental, on a kilogram per hectare basis, that equivalents to roughly, there's 49 kilograms of N. That's coming through the DDGS fed to the animals. That's 49 kilograms of N per hectare fed to the animals through that DDGS. None in FERT, none in control. Atmospheric deposition, there is some estimated to occur. We didn't measure that, but it's estimated about 7. And then total, it's 7, 56, and 97. Now, consumption, this is based on estimates of intake per day of cattle on forage. The control has this estimated cattle or that pasture 60 being consumed for forage 60 kilograms in the control. It's tough to see the pointer here, isn't it? 74 in the supplemented and 104 in the fertilized. Now the stocking rates are greater in the supplement and FERT pastures than the control, but the pastures are managed to have the same grazing pressure. So when cattle are moving from paddock to paddock in the rotations, there's the same stubble height or residual herbage remaining from pasture to pasture. Okay, so more for, and so the supplement is reducing forage intake in those pastures. Why is that? Because you're feeding DDGS, so that number is the same at 49. And then total nitrogen consumption, 60, 123, and 104. Okay, nitrogen retention. That's retention in the animal, and that's based on NRC equations for how much muscle mass or how much protein in the body weights of those animals, how that equivalates to a nitrogen basis. So relative to N inputs, there's little that is retained in the animals. So most of that then is excreted back on the pasture. So looking at the numbers, 55 kilograms of N through excretion, so that's dung and urine, back to pasture, 113 in sup and 97 in FERT. Okay, nitrogen balance then is computed from, that is, it is total N input, so that's 7 kilograms for control minus retention gives you the balance. So it's positive by 2 kilograms. Looking at the sup pasture, 56 minus 10, 46, and then the fertilizer is 97 minus 8, so 89 kilograms. So you see the difference between the treatments in terms of total N inputs. So the standard practice since the 1980s on those pastures, it's been fertilized at 90 kilograms per hectare. So the last 10 years is basically there's been a reduction, complete cessation of nitrogen input in the control, but a reduction or a change in the amount and form of nitrogen input in the supplemented pastures. And then from there we could calculate different nitrogen use efficiency the parent nitrogen use efficiency is calculated from, that'd be nitrogen retention divided by total land input. And then nitrogen use efficiency is nitrogen retention divided by just what the managers control in terms of fertilizer and DDGS input. Okay, so this table, and a lot of that has been published in that paper in 2011. Okay, so what were my objectives today? Is really evaluate how that control SEP and FERT pasture is affecting the pasture itself in terms of nitrogen pools in herbage, litter, and soil. So some of the hypotheses that we had in this research, the first one is with fertilization, greater annual herbage accumulation in that treatment, combined with increased trampling and senescence, there's greater numbers of animals in those pastures, would increase the litter pool, litter deposition rates, and litter nitrogen return to soil relative to those two treatments where those N inputs are reduced. Cessation of nitrogen fertilization in control and SEP would reduce particulate organic carbon and nitrogen contents as well as root and rhizomes relative to the long-term FERT strategy. And then third, pasture management strategies that had the greater levels of increased inputs to FERT or the SEP, which was basically intermediate between the control and the FERT treatment, would increase supply of nitrogen from soil, meaning there would be greater nitrogen mineralization rates in those pastures. And then also affect litter decomposition and nitrogen mineralization from that litter. Then those pastures with where nitrogen's been reduced for basically the last 8 to 10 years from when this data was collected. Okay, so what do we find? I'm not going to show much about the herbage pool other than to state that it's a smooth blown grass, is a cool season grass. Production of it peaks in spring and it drops off in summer or it slumps in summer. And you get a response. You're going to have basically 35% more herbage production with nitrogen fertilization. So in that FERT treatment compared to the two unsupplemented, to the two unfertilized pastures. So keep that in mind. And so with that, so it peaks in spring. So what was the response to litter? I don't show the residual herbage response. But basically, where you have most production would be early in the season. So that's going to be around May and June. And that's so what I listed on the bottom of these charts are different rotations of the cattle. So this was, again, these were rotationally stocked pastures. And so cattle rotated through each paddock 5 times. And so what I'm showing there, I don't have a second rotation. I didn't measure the litter pool after it. But basically, I have 2 different years. What it's showing, you can kind of see, especially in 2011 in the second chart, you kind of see an increase in that litter pool after the first and third rotations, but then it drops off. That's simply a function. You have more herbage mass during that time. In the fertilizer treatment, and then hence you get an increase in litter, that's litter deposition, and it's contributing to that litter pool. But, you know, there's a lot of interactions in that data and a lot of variability, so, you get that temporary flush, but mostly the litter pool is pretty much, it stays similar between all 3 of those treatments. And part of that is due to you're managing at the same grazing pressure. So the amount of herbage that's essentially going back to pasture is similar. Okay, but what do we also measure to actually rates that litter is depositing in the soil. And we do see there is an increase, this was just on average data, with the control, the SEP and the FERT. Basically 10 to 11 kilograms. This on an organic matter basis. We corrected for ash. in 10 to 11 kilograms per hectare per day in the control and sup, and 15 kilograms per hectare per day in the fertilized treatment. Relative to the amount of nitrogen in that organic matter, again, differences between those. So forage quality or herbage quality was similar between all three of those. Fertilizer, it gets a response in terms of herbage quality of increased nitrogen in that herbage early in spring, but across the growing seasons, they're similar. Essentially, if you put it out on a grazing season basis, if you put that litter deposition rates and litter nitrogen deposition rate, basically across 158 days, that equates to 27, 30, and 46 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare per season in the control, sup, and fert, respectively. If we compare it back to the nitrogen input table, relative to nitrogen excretion, total N returning through litter is roughly 35, 23, and 34%. So the other two-thirds basically from excreta. Okay. So what happened with the soil pool? That's the second hypothesis. Well, we would impact the soil pool, particularly the organic carbon nitrogen contents. Lots of non-significant responses there. We did this over 2 years, the management strategy a year, and then their interactions. Basically, the main effect, we did see a change with management strategy in the C to N ratio of total soil organic carbon to total nitrogen. And then so that's the main treatment effect. But no response, we thought we'd see a response with particulate organic carbon and nitrogen or their ratios, but didn't see a response there. So to give you an idea of what those data were, basically, so here's the C to N ratio. And this is all surface soil, so 0 to 15 centimeters. We had a response between control and fert. There's a difference there. And we also saw it in the fine fraction of that C to N ratio. Some other data we have. Biggest change was roots and rhizomes. Again, strategy had effect on C and N and mass of roots and rhizomes. The responses, basically we have increased roots and rhizome contents in the fert compared to both, you can see in the contrast statements, compared to both the control and the sub-treatments. For all those were significant. So we also looked at litter decomposition rates, but we didn't see much change there, so I won't talk about that. But our biggest probably change there is we are impacting these management treatments. This reduction or cessation of nitrogen inputs in the control has reduced soil nitrogen mineralization rates relative to the fertilized treatment. Fertilized treatment is there in top on green, and you can see the white squares there representing the control treatments with different soil incubation time. SUP was basically the supplemented treatment is right in the middle. So relative to conclusions, so basically what we found is, well, fertilization enhanced herbage mass and loss of herbage through trampling and senescence. That increased litter deposition and nitrogen return. Although we saw some change in amount of reduced herbage and litter pools in the control and sup, these strategies basically maintain soil organic carbon and nitrogen, at least in the short-term aspect of this research. Our biggest change was reduced soil nitrogen mineralization in the control, demonstrating potential to have of this change in management to have negative long-term effects. And then DDGS, it's an important energy and protein supplement, but it had a modest compensatory effect on nitrogen cycling. And its sustainability on the long term is we're not sure about yet. Thanks.